Open your Bibles to the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 3. Amos, chapter 3, verse 3. Today we'll be talking about compatibility and partnership in marriage. You're expecting how to enter into the kingdom. Today is the first day I'm taking a marriage message on a Wednesday. For some days now, this is what the Lord has put in my spirit for us, so there are no rules, you know. So we'll look at compatibility and partnership in marriage. Is there anybody here who knows or who doesn't have a desire to marry? You don't want to marry? Either the Lord made you a eunuch or like the Bible said, you decided to make yourself a eunuch because of the kingdom. Anybody? Don't laugh, please. There might actually be, okay, one person. Any other person? Any other person? Tokwa, did you raise your hand? You already have some children. I was wondering. Are you also? No. They're just one person. You know, the Bible says that there are people who are eunuchs. Yeah, and there are some who have made themselves to be eunuchs. So if the Bible says it, that means it does exist, you know. So I just said I should ask. So it means I'm preaching the right message because about 99.9 of us, you know, are either married or hoping to be married. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're talking about compatibility and partnership in marriage. You see, those two words are very important to understand them and to understand its implication, you know, in marriage. Now let's look at Amos 3:3. Amos 3:3 says that, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together? So it means that it's not a natural thing. It's not like an automatic thing for two to walk together. Because it's telling us here, it's like it's telling us, it's inting us that it's possible that two will be unable to walk together. Is that not what it's looking like? It's like asking us a rhetorical question, right? So, it's not enough to assume that two will always work together. Are you with me? You see, sometimes there is an assumption that two will always work together. But Amos is telling us here, under the prophetic unction, that it's not a natural thing for two to work together. And that it's like There is a kind of requirement for two to work together. And it's almost as though if this requirement is not met, there might be a question mark. Are you together with me? For two to what? to walk together. Now, I'm talking majorly about marriage, but the truth is, even sometimes, some other relationships, sometimes it's difficult for two to walk together, except there is a type of agreement. Let me tell you something about discussing about marriage. Marriage is like the highest, praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's the highest level of human engagement, human interaction. The relation, the marital relationship is the highest level of human interaction. What that means is that, what I mean by saying that is, if you can work marriage, you can work almost any other type of relationship. It's the highest. And that's why I told you that when the Bible was teaching us how to pick church leaders, the school of the ministry told us to go and pick them from, it's not Rema or Joseph Ayababala school of ministry. He said, go and pick them from their homes. And he says, if the man or the woman, or in this case the man, cannot lead his house, he says that he cannot lead the church. So like the house is a type of church, you see. You see, that makes us know whether a man can lead a church or not. So marriage is, why did I say that? I said that to let you know that when we discuss marriage, we are not talking about an emotional, interesting conversation that makes us shine our teeth. I'm telling you that we're having a high-powered spiritual conversation. You see? A high-powered one. It is as deep as the three laws of entering the world. You know, it's even a deeper one. You know, last week when I was traveling to Adoekiti, and now, you see, the roads are so bad. It now pained me that I have not perfected the message of translocation. That was the day the thing really pained me, that if I had focused on this message, when they were preaching the message to me, I was criticizing it. If I had focused on it, would I have gone through all that I went through? I would have just disappeared. You know, and I'll find myself in Adoekiti. Maybe I'll disappear with the car, but me and the car will find. That was one major day that not having a grasp of that message really, you know, affected me, because I needed the message at that time. But you see, when we are talking marriage, it's a very serious thing. You know, it's easy to say high things. Because when you say high things, nobody can test it. Because we are all in the abstract. Are you together with me? If I told you there are 85 angels here, how will you know there are 83? How do you know there are 83 or there are 87? You see, but marriage is the place where you get your report card daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. Do you understand? It's a very serious institution. You get your report card every day and every week and every year. And everybody here, no matter how much you think the message I'm talking about is carnal, you are a product of a home. You see, this message I'm preaching, because your mama and daddy did not understand it, that's why you are a current problem to your current wife. So whether you like the message or not, it's affecting you. Do you understand? And so I need to preach it, even if it's not for you, for the child that you have given birth to, so that I don't know whether your child will marry my child. So I need to take this message very seriously. So can two walk together, you see, except they be agreed? Now, Gabriel, is Gabriel? I think I saw Gabriel. If this scripture reads, can two walk together, except they agree. What would agree, how would you describe the word agree in that context? Because in my own mind, I'm seeing two ways, two meanings for this agree. You know, maybe as a verb or as a noun, I don't know. But I want you to tell me the various forms that that word agree can mean. Yeah. I'll help you say your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you can just speak. Yeah.
There are two ways you can use them.
Yeah.
One is if the action is complete, or one if it's continued. They call it aspect and tense.
Okay.
So what's happening? So if I say I agree, that is something that is about to happen. But when you say be agreed, it's the perfect tense. Like it has happened before. Like they will have finished the agreement, like be agreed.
Okay.
Before you now start doing whatever you want to do, the agreement. It's not like I agree, like I can agree today, I can agree tomorrow. Mm. Process.
Yeah.
The agreement is completed.
A state. It's like a state.
Yes, yeah. Eating.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Like, it's done.
Fantastic. So when we are talking about compatibility and partnership, listen to this. I'm talking compatibility and partnership using this word agreed and agree. We have agreed to be partners. You see, but we need to agree to work together to be compatible. It's a very serious thing, though. Because, listen, let me explain what I'm saying to you. Lack of compatibility, sometimes questions or weakens agreement. Because when you find out that you are not compatible, or it's looking obvious you are not compatible, it gives the impression that can we truly be partners? So when lack of compatibility is high, we sometimes drop the sense of partnership. Because we sometimes feel that we need to be compatible for us to be partners. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
But we can conclude that we are partners. We will get compatibility in the journey. Do you understand? Are you getting what I'm... Yes. Gabriel, do you get what I'm trying to say? So, can two walk together? So, you see here that... Ezek, what's the problem? Ezek, talk now. Let me hear you. It's Bible study. He asked you a question. Is it about this revelation I'm preaching? Yeah, what's the question? Do we... What was your response? He said no. All right. Some of you, do you understand? Who understands? Raise your hand if you understand. You are afraid, so I will ask you, what do you understand? Come, blessing. Where's your boyfriend? Is it? Is not in church? Oh, yeah. Yeah, fine. Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. You put it on the other. I want to do an example. I'm sorry, I thought In fact, go and sit down. You are not allowed to do that. Go and sit down. Hello. Sit down, sit down. Bless you, I thought the old word knew. Sorry. Let me see you, both of you. Come. Come. Now let's assume they are married. Now, you see, as couples, they are partners. Do you understand? They are partners, meaning that we have been joined together by the Lord. You see, to be married and to fulfill destiny. Do you understand? Now, that is what they have agreed. You see, are you with me? Now, in the case where they're now having issues around differences, that is now causing a lot of crisis. You see, when the crisis is too much, that lack of compatibility, we question that partnership. So they will now say, are we truly meant to be partners because we do not agree? So can two work together except they agree, or they are agreed, anyone you want to use. But the point is, to be agreed is, like he said, agreed is like we have concluded. So that's it. So they have concluded. But when they do not agree as per character clash, that lack of agreement will begin to attack this agreement. Are you together with me? Because they will question it. So a lot of people think that if we do not agree, we should not be agreed. But you see, sometimes to be agreed is what gives you the strength to go through the crisis that will now make you agree. So to be agreed is to shut the door behind you and say, we go, they agree, they go. We have agreed that we will agree. It's a very serious thing, though. It's a very serious thing, though. You see, because if you use compatibility as the yardstick for disagreed, you will break this one. But a lot of us naturally use compatibility to determine partnership. Say, why do people say they are divorced? Irreconcilable. So they are using compatibility to determine agreement. You see, but the way God wants it to be, you are meant to use agreement, this agreed partnership, you see, to go through the journey of being compatible. But again, if because you have this partnership, you take for granted compatibility, it will also keep questioning this partnership. Do you understand? So can two work together except they be agreed? Yes and no. Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that yes, because with this our agreement, no matter what is happening, we will work together. But no, in the sense that if we don't get compatibility right, It will weaken disagreement. You can go and sit down. Isaac, do you now understand? Do we all understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
So can two walk together except they be agreed? So there are two things. The first thing we need to understand is that the sense of partnership must be very strong in our hearts, which is the conclusive decision that we are one. Eh? Well, we have concluded that what? We are one. You know, the Bible talks about, I was reading Hebrews 11, says, if they had brought to mind where the country they have come from. You see, all of us have a country we're coming from before we got married, which is your single life. Do you understand? If that door is still opened, you see, you will find reason to go and use it. Now, we need to cement that door. You remove the door, and then you, what do? It was come. Yeah. Partnership. So that in the process of trying to get compatibility, it's not going to be a test for whether we should be married. It's a compatibility will only be used for how to have a better marriage. You understand it? You got what I'm saying? You got it? You get it? You get it what I'm saying? It's not a test. You see, if you haven't settled that agreement, compatibility will be a test. You'll be using it to test whether you should still be married or not. And so you are using compatibility as a test. Now, anytime you use it as a test, then you see, are you together with me? You will be under, you will not even have peace to even perfect the compatibility. You see, because there's a test. Are you together with me? And it will not give you the required peace needed to even get the compatibility right. Let me say this to us, that which I will say later. Marriage, the best marriage in the world, the nicest marriage in the world, is tough. I'm not talking about the bad marriage, I'm talking about the good ones. The bad ones is hell. The good ones is what? It's tough. I'm telling you the truth. The marriage is tough. If you don't like doing anything tough, don't be married. Yes, marriage is tough. I want you to know that. I'm not talking about bad marriages. I'm talking about great marriages. Great marriages. It is what? It is tough. It is most likely going to be the greatest work you have ever done in your life. Yes. Yes. It is the toughest work. I tell you the truth. It is tougher than every other work. It's tougher than economic work, any work, security guard. It's tough. Do you know, the Bible tells us that some, and this is an example of a bad marriage, not a good one, but it says a bad marriage in the scripture says that when a man marries a bad woman with just one bad quality called nagging, it says that he will get peace when he goes to the ceiling. Like he enters the ceiling, like he will feel relief. That is to say, the ceiling is more conducive than than the mansion. So you can imagine the heat in the ceiling. He's saying the heat where there's AC is like way more. When the guy goes to the mansion, to the ceiling, I said, wow. Like, he feels good. Are you with me?
Yes,
it is better to dwell in the corner of the house top, you see, than with a brawling woman in a wide house. You see, but I'm now telling you that a good marriage, you see, is tough. I'm not saying it's not sweet. I'm not saying it's not fun. I'm not saying it's not interesting. You understand? And I'm not saying it's sad. I said it is what? It is tough. Like, it's a contact spot. Are we together, friends? That is what it is. So, we're talking compatibility, right? So let's check compatibility first. Then we'll now go and check the rudiments of partnership, maybe if there's time. But let's look at compatibility first. What is the meaning of compatibility? Why are we discussing compatibility? You see, because two are now working as one. Do you understand? And the two, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are theologically one. They are what? Theologically one. They are spiritually one. According to the purpose of God, they are one. But they are practically not one. They are what? They are practically what? Not one. Do you understand? It's obvious there are no one. There are two people. Right? So they are physically two people. Their soul is not one. Their emotion is not one. Their understanding is not one. Their inclination is not one. Huh? What else is not one? Their desires is not one. Eh? Their face is not one. There's one grammar I want to use. I can't remember that grammar. It's skipping me. Eh? Their proclivities. They have different proclivities. Eh? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
They are obviously not one, but they are spiritually one. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
And there is an innate assumption of personal righteousness that everybody carries. Everybody. Meaning that you assume that who you are and what you are is who people should be. And what people should be. So, you see, all of us have an innate sense of being the standard. So, you see, you are one standard that you believe your other person should be, and the other person too is a standard. So it has turned to standard, lily standard. So I tell you, it is tough. I tell you the truth. You see, without appreciating wisdom, you are in trouble. And one of the toughest things is to appreciate wisdom. It's a tough thing to appreciate wisdom. Let me tell you what I mean by that. You see, because what I mean by appreciate, you see, to appreciate wisdom is very tough because you have to receive, you have to agree to an indictment for you to appreciate wisdom. That's why a lot of us prefer to give wisdom than to receive wisdom. You see, because when you receive wisdom, when you take a posture of you want to receive wisdom, then you have taken a posture of, I don't know, I'm a fool. Do you understand? And then to be humble is one of the toughest things. You see, because humility is a major sign of Christ-likeness. It's not an easy thing to be humble. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
So you can see why there's still one grandma I'm waiting, for. You see why compatibility is tough. I've told you several reasons why it is tough. But we're looking at differences and all of that. Even though theologically we are one, spiritually we are one, but practically, are you with me? We are not one practically. And then you are meant to live as one. Now that's a very tough thing. So you see, we bump into our way. Now I'm even talking about even all the difference, things that are different, they are about our differences, not necessarily about our flaws. Which is another burden. So I'm saying that if two people who had no flaws got married, it's still tough. Are we together here? Let me quickly show you about five things. Five areas of differences. You know, the first one is, I call it P-E, P.E, capital letter P.E, that's peculiarity of experience. Experiences are peculiar. And I'm talking about experiences as per growth. Our growth trajectory. Do you understand? How we grew and what growth turned us to. Do you understand? And then there are different dynamics. Are you with me? And there are different dynamics that, you know, that furnish our growth. A lot of dynamics. I'll just mention three types of growth experience, but in each of it, there are also various dynamics. You see, those who grew in the palace, you see, that have a type of what word should we use now? Privileged growth, or what? Well, I want to use a better word that is easy for us. Yeah, comfort, like. In the family that is wealthy, well-to-do, who had that kind of palatial type of growth? Are you with me? You see, that growth experience works on the mind and gives you a type of mind. You see, that the person who grew in the bottom. Let me tell you something. The sense of appreciation that somebody who grew from a poor place and somebody who grew from a palatial place has, they are different senses of it. Poor people who are okay will have a higher sense of appreciation. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You see, but the rich one, it's not like he doesn't have a sense of appreciation. It's just that... No man. Do you understand that? they'll have different sense of appreciation. So the chances are that the efforts of the poor man in the marriage will not really be seen. The partner that came from a poor background, it means that his efforts or our efforts will not be what? Be seen. If he's dealing or if she's dealing with a partner that came from a wealthy background. That possibility exists. Am I not correct?
Yes.
And the one that came from a poor background will really want our efforts or his efforts to be seen. But it's not like the other person is not appreciative, but the other person has not been trained to see efforts. You see, because effort starts after all the basics have been met. Because while he was growing up, there were some things that were normal that he's not aware that it was provided for. Do you understand? So you see, when one is screaming, you are not grateful. The other is screaming, of what exactly? Are we together? Yeah. And then there's the basic and the average one. And then the possibility that the work ethic of the poor one might be higher than the work ethic of the one who came. You see. And the sense of order of the one that came from a wealthy home might be higher than the sense of order. You see, because when you are poor, you see, order is luxury. Do you know that poor people are not concerned about the beauty of a meal? I don't know how many of you who grew up in a poor family, some maybe they put 3 leaves to decorate your rice. Like just. You know, if you see that leaf, you it will be as if leaf dropped on your food. You. So you can see the sense of order of the one from a wealthy place is a bit different. And then what irritates the wealthy one will not be an issue to the poor one. So irritability level will be different. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
So we're talking compatibility. Now, you see, what I'm teaching Mary, but I tell you the truth, everything I'm teaching, you can even use it in your relationship generally with people. Praise God. So what's the first one? Peculiarity in what? In experience. How we grew. Right? The second one is peculiarity of course, we talk of gender difference. There is issue of compatibility just because you are male and I'm female. Like it's a huge, like even if we are the same in everything, just the difference of gender makes marriage tough. Yeah. Just difference in what? In gender makes marriage tough. Just gender. Just that she is a woman, you see, and you are a man, makes the marriage tough. Yeah. Because the man is primarily led by his logic. The woman is primarily led by her feelings. Now, otherwise would take, if it's going to be otherwise, a training must have happened. Like you have to go for wisdom to know. But if we leave ourselves the way we are, men are led by logic. Women are led by led. I mean, logic comes first to the man, whereas feelings come first to the woman. You see, and it's so bad that sometimes a woman might not even know why she's sad. No, it's that bad. A woman can have a bad day, and then she has no explanation for you. Yeah. And you see, when you don't have an explanation, you see, you are useless. There's nothing to do. It's like you want to put a man in a mental confusion when there is no explanation. I need to know what is wrong so that I can know what to do. You see. But the woman might not know. You see, sometimes you might even be the one to help the woman find out. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes. Not sometimes. You might be the one to help her find out. Like, wow, oh, this is what is wrong with me since I didn't even know. You know. You might even help her. You might have to help the woman find out why she's feeling the way she's feeling. You see, and your response to her feeling is her perception of your person. That's why a woman can look at you, who is a good person, and say you are wicked. And you are sure you are not wicked. Like, everybody knows. Those who know you well know that you are not wicked. But the woman will tell you for free that you are a wicked man. You see? And it's because you are unable, you see, to engage her feelings. Right? You see, and some of those feelings, she doesn't even have explanations for them. And in fact, some feelings, you see, are only triggered by an issue. But the issue is not the reason for the feeling. So even when you have dealt with the issue, the feeling still remains. Yes. For a man, if you deal with his issue, you have dealt with it. Let me give an example. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
I'll give an example. I need to give an example so you can understand what I'm talking about. Let me give an example that I usually give. I've given it before. There's no new examples coming to my head. I had a friend who bought a car for his wife. And he was going to give her the car. But I told him not to give her the car like that. I told him to write a note around the car key and talk about his love for her and how he would never want to see her stressed and all of that. And so he did that. And she was almost more appreciative of the note You see, that's why most, you hear women say more. They say, they use this word more. That's so thoughtful of you. It's not really a masculine line. No, men use it, but women use it more. That's so, you know, what she's saying, that your action treated a feeling. Your action went to an emotional need. That's so thoughtful. That is to say, you took time to think, because the woman's problem is not obvious. You see, the woman's problem is not obvious. Let me give you an example. When a woman is walking all day, she's walking all day. Not all women, I'm just talking about gender. I just use an example. And she's walking hard. You see, as she's walking hard, she might be going through a feeling of fear and abandonment. And she'll be working very hard. Now, you will be seeing her work hard, and you are sure everything is okay. But as she's walking hard, she's afraid that, is this how this guy is abandoning me in life? Yeah. You see, she'll be walking hard. She'll be bringing the food to you. You will be eating. But that fear exists. So you see, when you now drop something in the wrong place, then she now lashes. Then you, because you are a logical man, you are saying, this lash and this incident, they do not relate. But the lash is from a deep place. That issue just triggered something that is deep inside. But you know, Mumu, you. You are like, is it that? Is it that? Now let me tell you the case for the man. If a man is working hard, for that woman, while she's working hard, she doesn't really need you to join her to work. She just needs you to come to her while she's working, and be talking to her and tell her, man, you did try, you. See, as you are saying, you did try, that work is reducing. Yes. Then, man, you are really trying. And then you carry one stool and sit down. And you are talking. And I say, can I help you? She can even say, no, don't do anything, don't do anything. But if she said, don't do anything, and you go back. When you said, don't do anything, you said, don't do anything physical. But your presence. It's just like a woman tells you, just leave me alone. I just want to be alone. Then your brain says, she said she wants to be alone. Then Mumu, you now go. Is it, the challenge is that you are treating her the way you would have wanted to be treated, but you guys are different. If a man is walking, if you come there, if you do the work and leave him alone, like you do the work and say, should go and rest, that is when you have helped him. You understand? If you no go help me, abe, they go me right. So have you noticed that even when you are helping your wife, she's still putting mouth? Like when you are doing something, maybe she's tired of the baby, for example, and you want to take the baby and help. She will still be telling you what to do. Now, what's your response to that usually? Your response is, leave me, if you want me to, you do or I do. Now, she's treating you the way she would have wanted you to treat her when she was doing it. Which is by while she's doing it, be part of it. So, why are you laughing? So we're talking compatibility. Just that we are two different. So you see, marriages do not crash because there is a bad person. They crash because they are different people, and the people have decided not to approve. You see, because when you know you are not a bad person, it's difficult to go and look for wisdom. Because you know you are not bad. But you don't know that the problem is not that you are not bad. It's that you just don't know how. You see. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
So what's the first difference I spoke about? All right. You see, peculiarity in creation. You see, we're all created uniquely. Have you noticed that when you read the Bible, disciples of Jesus Christ, have you noticed that they all had unique behaviors? John was clingy. Huh? John was clingy. Judas and Thomas are very logical. They use their brain. Especially Thomas. That's how Thomas is. Peter is forward. Everybody is different. Because God created us differently. Your spouse is just different because of how God created. Why did God create? Because he loves difference. God loves difference. He loves unity, but God doesn't believe there cannot be unity when there's difference. There can be unity even though there's difference. So we're differently made. Differently wired. Do you know there are some people, the way they are wired, they will never almost lead in their life. They just want to follow. They want to assist. They are like, they are wired to be assistants. They don't have the temperament of, you know, I think that's what Tim Lai taught on. I didn't learn that thing when everybody was learning it, and I can't go back and learn it. I've already matured. It's not now I want to be learning choleric sanguine. My mates have learned it 15 years. When they were learning it, I said, rubbish! We are spirit! I used to criticize that message. I said, we're spirit! The man in Christ is not sanguine. It's not rubbish! So I can't go back. I'll go and learn that thing. So if I didn't learn it that time, it's already late. But that thing you people learned about choleric, phlegmag, Meg sang, cook. I don't know it, and I won't learn it. I know I was wrong then, but I maintain. No, I don't have that level of humor. I will not go back and pick. Is that going to write, you know, like? I will never, I've moved on from that one. But there is something called. What do you call it? That thing is real. Peculiarity of purpose. Purpose is a serious thing. You see, when you marry somebody who has hit purpose, it has an effect. It has a serious impact on the marriage. For example, if my wife is not somebody who God has touched as per serving the Lord, I don't think I can marry I don't think I can marry somebody who is not in love with the Lord as per the service of the Lord ministry. It's not possible. It's not. It will be very. The person will think I hate the person. Because as I am like this, the only thing that flows through me is how are we going to take the nations, take the world? How are we going to take those people, gather, get those people? I'm thinking, I'm strategizing. New vision is flowing. I don't used to play with windows of opportunities. When I stand up, I grab it. You know, I'm that kind of person. I always live as though I can die anytime. You understand? I'm not. That's how God has purpose. I've contacted purpose. I don't think about myself at all. At all. Maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago was when I started to say, okay, I'll buy clothes for yourself. Maybe I started buying clothes for myself. But those kind of things don't cross my head. Thinking the kingdom. Now, if she wasn't, like, if the Lord hadn't touched her, it would be tough. It would be very tough. Because she would think that I'm abandoning the family and all of that. And it was even tough. This was part of the tough experiences we had in our early years of ministry. You know, but now she's the one who is now in full. She's more, you know. Now I used to go and say, you have abandoned me. Now. I say, you love the ministry more than me. I use it to mock her very well. I just say, you love ministry more than your family. She say, no. I said, no, you have it from one meeting to another meeting, Zoom meeting. She will lock me. She will lock the office and only I in the in my house. I don't have office. She's the one that has office. So I will knock. She'll say, who's there? You know, I feel bad. You know, I have to really like work on myself. Like, am I not the head of the home? I should be able to enter anywhere. I say, who's there? I'll say, it's me, Zach. Please, can you come back? I'm on his. I feel it touches me so much. These are the reasons why God chooses for us. Because a lot of us, the only premise upon which we make marital decision is I like him. I tell you, say, God, I like this baby. I'm in love. 99% of us. He just like the girl. Whereas the things involved there, they are serious. So. You see, because all these peculiarities I'm talking about has an impact on how the person will do life. Yeah. It determines how the person will live. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
It determines everything. Some things that are okay to you are impossible for the person. You see, it's really a tough thing. I've said four things, right?
Yes,
let me try the final one. Peculiarity of or in trauma. Yeah. This is like the strongest one, trauma. You see, trauma births a new character in the soul. Trauma. There is an effect of trauma in everybody sitting here. All of us here. All the traumas you have been through in life has recreated you. Everybody here. Trauma. And all of us have gone through different types of trauma. It could be the loss of your parents at a particular time in life. You get it? it can create trauma. You see, I never grew with my father. The trauma has its effect on me. You see, I never grew with my father. So, it works in me in two ways. I'm addicted, connected, really connected to whoever I call father. One. And then I'm completely detached. And I can do without whoever calls himself father. if you think you are a father to me, and I don't think you are a father to me, I can do without seeing you. You see, even if Jesus will return thrice, in those three returns, I might not see you. And I won't have a feeling about it. I don't have a feeling when I'm not seeing somebody. I won't have it. So for me, when I don't want to, maybe I'm not seeing you again. It's like there is a deletion of your memory in my soul. Yes. Then when I see you again, maybe in 1,000 years, then the glory of God is the glory of God that makes me, that kickstart relationships for me. It's the glory. It's not a natural thing. That's why I have divine forgiveness, because I don't know how to forgive naturally. The reason I don't forgive naturally is that I don't know how to keep the offense. And the reason why I can't keep the offense is I don't know how to keep you. Because there has to be somebody that you are offended. But when you can successfully delete the person, how do you remember the offense? It's a very terrible thing, though. It's a very terrible thing. I have the ability, if God doesn't touch me, to do without my biological child. If my biological child refused to be a child, do you understand? I don't ride on sentiment. Sentiment has no. Do you understand? I don't do things on the basis of sentiment. Or and then I can meet somebody who is not my biological child, or that person will become my biological child. It's trauma. It's not like it's a holy thing. Yeah, it's not a holy thing. It's trauma. You see, because the most important person in my life, that should have been the most important person in my life, I lived without the person. Do you understand? So I can stresslessly live without anyone in life. You understand? So it's trauma. So trauma has an effect. So the person that I'm preaching to you, stop looking at me and be worried for me. Because you have your own trauma. So trauma has an effect on people's lives. Yeah. It has an effect. When you see somebody behaving in a certain way, you know, it's trauma. Some people are greedy, but it's out of trauma. It's because when you have experienced chronic lack, your soul tells you that everything will soon finish. So you have a type of supernatural greed. You see, and because of trauma. And the beautiful thing about trauma, because the soul is not necessarily scientific. The soul is artistic, is art. So you cannot predict the effect, how trauma will play out. For example, if a lady is maybe sexually molested, if it has an effect on her, it can make her hate sexual relationships. And it can make her not send sexual relationships, that now makes it not a big deal. So that's what you now call promiscuous. You see, what you call promiscuous, It's not like bad girl. It's that the thing you are calling sex has become nothing to the person. And that's out of a traumatic experience. You cannot predict how it will play out. You see, when you say people have anger issues, it's not like that's how God created them from heaven. Sometimes trauma has made... And not everybody heals from their trauma. Most people never heal from their trauma. Most people. Only the Holy Spirit can make one. And you see, it's difficult to even identify your trauma as trauma. Because you call it person. You call it personality. That's the way I am. Because it has its positive... Yeah, it has its... For example, my own trauma, there's a way I use it for my good. Yeah, it has the good side. It has the good side. It has the good... You see, sometimes when I'm working hard, when I'm working to restore a relationship hard, the reason I'm working hard is not because I love the relationship. It's because I'm aware of how I will be when I'm done. That's the major reason. Well, I always say, tie. Yeah, that's the reason why I'm okay. Then the reason why I also don't get angry, you rarely see me get angry, is because I'm aware of what I can do when I'm angry. So I make sure that I'm not angry. You will almost never see me angry because I'm aware. You see, I had this man who was troubling me one time. And he troubled me. He bullied me. This man bullied me. You see, but as he was bullying me, he didn't know that me, I'm afraid of what I can do to him. And that was why I was allowing him. I was afraid. I said, Kai, this man will not bring this thing out of me. But he interpreted it as he can bully me. You see, there was one gracious day where I dealt with this man. You see, my wife was scared. Her chest was... You see, I dealt with this man. I entered into his house with all his family and his children. I was the only one. because when I want to deal with somebody, the first thing I will make you aware of, I will make you sure that there is no dot of fear inside me. I'll make you sure of that. So everything that looks like fear, I will take it out. So I can enter your house and lock the door and give you the keys. So that's how I am. That's how I am. I can enter, I'll lock the door, then give you the keys. Then I'll tell you that yesterday was your best day in life. Because from now on, your days are bad now. Yeah, that's how I am. So I walk away. I'm not bragging, no. I walk away, and I do it successfully because I don't like that side of me. But it's also a product of trauma. You see, because I grew up surviving. You see, so I know how to survive. I know how to survive, and I know, you know, all of that. So trauma has an effect. So sometimes the person you are fighting, you should be pitying, because it's just a soul that is willing, that has turned to bad behavior. Are we together? So we have P, PG, PC, PP, and PT. So you see, these things are the areas where, or are the dynamics of relationships that causes a lot of friction and makes us not to be compatible. But if we don't deal with them, we will make our agreement weak. You see, because we are giving too many reasons. We are allowing too many reasons to question the agreement. Now, you need to deal with these things so that we can grow in agreeing. Are you together with me? So there are two things that you see that start the process. Are you together with me? We can't do partnership today, but let's finish this one. Glory be to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So we need to experience today. We need to experience healing. You see, but before we experience healing, we have to accept. Eh? We have to what?
Accept.
We have to accept. We have to accept our areas of imperfections. What I call sincere. We have to be sincere. You know, if you pick sincerity early in your walk with God, you're going to go very far. A lot of people pick sincerity late. Sincerity is one of the things you need earliest. Are you with me? If you pick what? If you pick sincerity. A lot of people pick sincerity late. Anyone who lies to himself cannot be helped by God.
Yeah.
Never. You see, because God cannot help you, you see, above, it can't go against your will. Never. You understand? The sovereignty of God cannot change a man. God cannot change you based on his sovereignty. The Bible talks about how, come, let us reason together. Huh? If your sin be as what? Is red as scarlet. It will make it what? As white as snow. But you see, there has to be sincerity. You have to come. You have to talk to the Lord. You have to tell the Lord the truth. And it's very tough. A lot of us don't tell the Lord the truth. Come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet. So you see, the power of sin is not how deep it is. It's your decision not to be sincere. When you are not sincere, it will be stronger. But when you are sincere, God can help you. That is the spirit of David. Sincerity is one of the components of the spirit. You see why I say spirit of David? It's not like an amazing supernatural thing. When you look at that spirit, one of the things you see there is sincerity. That's why when you see David's prayer, you hear things like, search me. All those kind of stuff are language of the sincere. Where you spot. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's like you're not enjoying this preaching. Should I preach something? You want another one, like maybe a spiritual one? When you are sincere with the Lord and say, Father, I'm noticing this thing in me. It's like I'm like this, oh Lord. I'm like this. Yeah. Not that they said I'm like this. God, I get problem. I am like this. Come and help me.
Yeah.
I get problem. You see, the day a madman says that his clothes is dirty. Then mama say, this clothes is dirty. You see, he might be feeling that the clothes is dirty, but say, it's clean. It's people's clothes are the ones that are dirty. Some people say, you are talking too much. You say, the rest are, is the government that is not making them express themselves. Me, I'm just expressing it. You see, but the day the mama can say, this clothes is dirty. Everybody's done like this. See, only my clothes is like that. The day the man can say that, you see, and you can say that too. You can, the Bible says, the prodigal son came to his senses. You just say, you can tell yourself the truth. You see, why I am still where I am is that there were moments in my life where I told myself the truth. Yeah. I've been on some journeys, some spiritual journeys. I say, Kai, this thing is not going to all go well. I had to reverse. I say, I'm not going this direction. This is not how I've always been. There's the way I was many years ago. This, how I am now, is a choice. I looked at that way. I said, Kai, I'm already losing my mind. Let me reverse so that I will not lose the mind. You see, because the things I was saying and the scripture was not really... I had to be forcing the scripture to mean what I want to say. I said, this is not going well. Let me reverse. You see, and wisdom is not justified by your argument. Yeah. Wisdom is always justified by our children. Anytime you notice that what you are producing is not what... Even you don't like what you are producing. What you are doing is wrong. You don't have wisdom. Wisdom will always produce what you like. You would want your children to inherit what you are producing. If you notice that the outcome of your life cannot be a prayer point for your child, you have to change what you are doing. And listen, if you are relating with someone and you are noticing that the outcome of their lives is not tarrying with what they are saying, you have to call them to order and say, oh girl, you have been saying this. Or maybe you meet somebody who says he's a prophet. And then all his prophecies don't come to pass. You need to call the person and say, Oh boy. last 2 years, you told me. Last 3 years, you said an angel visited you. And that we're going to be a billionaire. We're not yet a thousandaire. You came again and you told us. Listen, that's how to relate to. You came again and you told us this thing. This is, it's like, you need to go and recheck this. This thing, it's not working. This thing is not working. Wisdom is not justified. You see, whenever you want to justify wisdom by argument, it's because the spirit of pride. It's a spirit of pride that is at work in you. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So what did I say? You need sincerity.
Yes.
Now, sincerity is the first thing, because without sincerity, all the other things will not work.
Yeah.
You understand? You know, there are some drugs they give you. They'll say, use this one. This one will make these antibiotics work. If you don't use this one, the antibiotics will not work. So sincerity is that thing that will make the antibiotics work. So, the second thing we need to do is prayer/deliverance. Yeah. Prayer/deliverance. You need deliverance. You see, but the deliverance is a word and prayer-based deliverance. It's not a casting of devil deliverance, because it's not devils that have formed your character. It's just that devils use your character. But it's not; they are not the ones that form your character. When a character is very bad, then a demon can be assigned, do you understand, to monitor the character and to manipulate the character. And that's why demons sometimes produce dreams. And the dreams will be dreams that enforce your deception. Yes. You know, I'm a master in what I'm doing. It's not, don't be today, I do it, I do it. Don't take what I do it, I do. So I get, nobody just Bible experience. I get real experience. Listen, if a false prophet, for example, tells you you are his second wife, yes, and there is a character in you that accepts, you see, because error needs a character in you. Yes. That's why the Bible talks about, let's not go there. So when there's a character in you that, so when, you see, when you agree to what that prophet said there, you will have a dream. Yeah, you have a dream that prophet the Lord spoke and both of you were doing a wedding in a dream. Yes, and then you wake up and you will now be sure that wow, the ways of God are not they are fast right now. You begin to have a dream in the line of your deception. Yes. Yes. So when you are speaking, you see, anytime somebody is speaking about an issue in their lives, and everything they say about it is from experience and encounter, 99% of times they are under demonic manipulation. Yes. 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 Why? Because something has been initiated to suspend brain logic and scripture. So that's why they will always need to talk about an encounter. That's like a powder has been blown. It means that the person is no more thinking. Either thinking, that's why when you know people are being manipulated, you find that it's not even making sense. Because they have stopped thinking, assume. You know, sometimes when somebody is under manipulation, you need to take him, not even to a prophet. You need to take the person to a street guy. Not even a prophet. A normal say, I'm only a dad, I'm telling you, he will be delivered. You just need to take the person to a normal, because it's like the mind has been suspended.
Yeah.
And so there will now be dreams and all those kind of things that will now be buttressing.
Yeah.
You see, there was one time, some of my friends went into error when we were in the university. You see, I've told you before, but I've not told you this part of it. This guy, who is my friend, and I'm not going to speak about him derogatorily because we all were young then, and this is the mistake he made, you understand. And so I had left school then. I think I went to do something, but I used to have prayer meetings in my room. So they had a prayer meeting, and those prayer meetings used to be very big. It's in my room, but it used to be like a program every week. So in that prayer meeting, they spoke in tongues and interpreted. It's just that this particular tongue was like a proposal tongue. So he spoke, he asked her out in the spirit. And then she agreed in the spirit. You understand? But what we didn't know was that, so they were always praying together. But what we didn't know was that they have agreed there. Their God has joined them. They had agreed God had joined them. So they were now living as married. And I'm talking about people who are spiritual people. They were living as married. I just used to notice that this guy, whenever he always comes back early in the morning. Nimbulo timbo. But he was already kind of living with the lady. And then they're always praying. And then when they are praying, they'll be receiving revelations that there's going to be like an attack against them. Like people are going to, like Satan will raise voices against them. And so they kept, so people who were speaking were now seen as, do you understand? So you know what happened? One day, the girl's friends, so one of those friends is the vibrant. There's one vibrant redeemed minister told me I deserve something. A vibrant redeemed minister. They now will lead that guy on the road and circle him. And they dealt with him publicly. You see, he had to run away from, he packed his bag and ran away from the state. And you know, you see, because that kind of thing, you can't deal with it. You have to street it. To straighten it. Yeah. For example, maybe if I have a sister now, maybe the husband now beat my sister. You know, what you need to do in that kind of case is that before the, because you need to counsel them and check if the marriage can still work. You counsel them to be together. But before the counseling happens, you have to arrange boys. Yes. Because if you start the counseling, you can't do the beating. You see, there are some battle, and you have to. You don't quickly come to the talking table. You don't. Because we have to do your own finish so that when that one has balanced, so how can we settle this thing? This is a, yeah, that's it. That particular one, that's how to settle it. That's what I will do. Not before now. If I have a sister, as Apostle Zach, if I have a sister and the husband beat her, you understand? I would arrange boys, but I won't let the guy know I'm the one that arranged the boys. I would tell the sister to act as though she's the one that arranged it, out of her own anger too. So that when we're counseling, I say, you can't do that. You know, 3 years ago, this is a real story. 3 years ago, I was somewhere, I went to my mechanics workshop. And then one guy was hitting his pregnant wife. And I was there, yes, I was there. And people were trying to separate, people were angry. So, I signaled some of the guys. So, we're now settling. So what I did was, I went to meet the guy, I said, why are you going to do like this? I now held him as if I'm stopping him from fighting. So the boy is now, you see, because I held him really well, so only his face was out. They remodeled, they scattered the guy's face. I was the one holding him. And I was saying, Mona, wait up. But you see, they recreated this guy's face. Today I was alone. I was remembering that I was just happy. I was full of joy. They remodeled, when they have remodeled his face, like they put his mouth on his head, his eyes, they helped me rearrange his face. And I said, what did they happen now? Why could they beat your wife? He won't know. Stop crying, stop shouting. We now started settling. You can't be settling when you have beat somebody, they did not beat you back. We're not settling. That's injustice. Injustice. So the first thing is sincerity, and then we now talk about deliverance, but it has to be word-based deliverance, which is you seclude yourself to scripture, you know, and then you are praying scripture, then counseling. Then counseling. You go for counseling, consistent counseling. And don't forget the reason why we're doing this. The reason why you are doing this is that you want God to shift some of these character issues so that it will not hinder compatibility, which eventually affects understanding. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, how do I deal with somebody, a spouse? You know, I'm talking about how the person who has the issues you deal with himself. That's what I spoke about now, right? So, but how do I deal with somebody who is like this? One, you need to understand everything that I've been said. That sometimes people are like this not because they are wicked. Are you together with me? You see, you need to understand all these things that I shared. Praise God. You need to trust God for their healing, which again, be prayerful. Pray for the person. Prayer is very powerful. Huh? Prayer is what? It's very powerful. Anybody God has not touched, you can't touch. So you have to be prayerful. You have to suggest counseling. Right? When necessary, you have to suggest counseling. Then you have to embrace long suffering. Are you with me? What do I call it? Embrace long suffering. You see, that's why marriage will test your walk in the spirit. Because you see, if you cannot suffer long, it's not because the person is bad. It's because you are not spiritual. Yeah. Because long suffering is one of the fruit of the spirit. So it's not just that the person is bad. It's because you also are not what? Spiritual. So you have to embrace long suffering. Are you with me?
Yes.
You have to embrace long suffering. You see, because your partner does not have a time to give you where they will change. No time. Now, if you cannot suffer long for your partner, how will you suffer long if, God forbid, your child goes into the world and your child has become worldly? How will you suffer long in prayers for your child to return? So as a child of God, we generally need the ability to suffer long so that we can see the will of God. Anna suffered long in praying for Jesus to come. You need long suffering even as an intercessor. So you have to suffer long. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Whilst you are trusting God, what I'm saying is, you can't dictate when the change will happen. Huh? Of course, there are some flaws that change must happen. Yes. Which are flaws that bring immediate damage to your partner. Do you understand? For example, I don't care what trauma is doing you. If you are beating your spouse, we are not going to suffer long.
Yeah.
There's no long suffering for that. If you are sleeping around, there's no long suffering for that. Is there long suffering for sleeping around?
No.
No, there's no long suffering for that. Because you can kill your partner. You can do a lot of things. There's no long suffering for that. That is where we'll bring out the scripture where the apostle said that if you're married to somebody who is willing to stay. So there are basic requirements that prove that you are willing. You can't be beating somebody and you are willing to stay. That's what the apostle said when he was talking about issues of divorce. So you have to prove that you are willing. So there are some issues that prove that you are willing. So being violent shows you are not willing to stay. So I would. So a woman or a man, because I heard of a case where the man beats the woman. Yeah. No, the woman beats the man. Yeah, because she's a trained fighter. Yes, now if you marry a karate person, no, if you like, you are tall like Lincoln, she will still beat him. Yeah, a black belter, a karate black belter. Yeah, they will beat you. So the woman beats the man. So if you are being beaten, either a man or a woman, you have to excuse yourself from there and we'll find out whether the person is still willing to stay. If the person is sleeping around, we'll find out whether the person is what? Willing to stay. The person is stealing all your money. Yeah. Maybe ask your account, carry all your... Yeah. There are real issues like that. We need to find out if the person is what? Willing to stay. But I'm talking, so those are not the issues I'm talking about, long suffering. You understand? That's foolish suffering. It's not a long one. Do you understand? So I'm talking about issues as per character flaws and all those kind of stuff. But I'm not talking of those level of vices. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So you have to embrace what? Long suffering. Right?
Yes, sir.
Because there is no time where the person will change. But the good thing is that you will use that process. You see, to be more like Christ, which is actually the purpose for the marriage. Which is actually the primary purpose. You see, if the purpose of marriage was marriage, we'll continue it in heaven. But the purpose of marriage is not marriage. That's why we won't continue it in what? In heaven. The purpose of marriage is Christ-likeness. Are we together here? So this is my, what will I call it now? Is it treatise? As regards compatibility and what? And partnership. I did an introduction on both, and am I squared into compatibility? So I want you to think about it. Maybe another time I will look at partnership and look at all the rudiments that we need to understand when we're talking partnership. But these are the things that you need to know that I have for you for now as regards compatibility. So let the Holy Spirit lead you, and I see you turning out to be the man and the woman that God wants you to be. God bless you. Shalom.